Our Lord Jesus, in all of his sufferings, I have to say, I don't want to miss a syllable of what Jesus did for us. We have been for a long time now going through the Gospel of Mark, and we're going back there today to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, what our Savior had been suffering from the Roman soldiers of Pilate. So we're going to begin reading in Mark chapter 15 and verse 15. Let us hear God's words. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. So simple just to say that. How awful to experience it. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place of place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. Amen. We end our reading there at verse 22. And we trust that the Lord will give us grace and help to understand his word as we meditate upon a brief portion that we have here from our reading today. Reverend Charles Simeon came to Christ as a result of reading this old book that I was holding up a while ago. In the year 1779, he was 20 years old, and he became a tremendous Reformed teacher and preacher at Cambridge University until the Lord took him home 57 years later. Because of his stand for the gospel, he was mocked while still a student at Cambridge. And when he was installed as the preacher in Holy Trinity Church, many people just got up and walked out. But that church soon became the center of spiritual life at Cambridge. As Simeon faithfully continued preaching, the church filled with crowds, and the church remained so until Simeon was called home to the Lord in 1836. One day when young Simeon had been severely mocked in the streets of Cambridge for preaching the gospel, he was very downcast. He went to the Lord in prayer, and he cried out, "Lord, please sustain me with a passage from thy word, for I am sinking in discouragement today." Immediately, he opened his Bible, and his eye fell on this verse 21. Verse 21, "And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross." Simon, this is what Simeon says. Simon is the same name as Simeon. What a blessed encouragement it was. I could leap for joy and sing because I had the privilege to bear Christ's cross and to experience a little suffering for His name's sake. Our text here, verse 21, I would point out three things here from this text. First of all, an ancient type fulfilled. Secondly, an action tending to fulfillment. And third, an activity currently to fulfill. So first of all, an ancient type fulfilled. John's Gospel, chapter 19, where we have been some recently. John 19, verses 16 and 17 says, "And they took Jesus and led him away, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called," and of course it is the place, "Golgotha." Did you realize that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all reported that Christ's cross was carried or borne by Simon of Cyrene? As Jesus was led away, he may have been bound and also a rope around his waist or around his neck. Truly, he was fulfilling the words of Isaiah 53:7. He is brought or led as a lamb to the slaughter. Every Old Testament type and picture Christ was fulfilling regarding his sufferings. But how would we know that Jesus fulfilled the whole drama of the offering up of Isaac by Abraham if John had not told us? Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us that Simon of Cyrene was carrying the cross up to the hill Golgotha. But John reminds us, thankfully, that as Christ was going up that pathway, the Via del Rosa, because of the blood dripping along the pathway, as Christ was carrying the cross, he carried it somewhere to near the gate of Jerusalem. And then Simon the Cyrenian comes in at that point. So it's wonderful that John tells us that Jesus did fulfill that great drama of Isaac and Abraham going up to Mount Moriah to sacrifice Isaac. If you remember in Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham and Isaac came to Mount Moriah, Abraham laid the wood for the sacrifice on his son Isaac to carry that burden up the mount, that he was to die on that wood. Well, praise God, the actual sacrifice was caught that day by his head in the thorns on top of the mount. And our Lord Jesus had the thorns on top of his head as he was to be sacrificed on that same little chain of hills, if not the exact spot. Now, thank God that John recorded that Christ was bearing or carrying his cross on which he was to be sacrificed. It is so very wonderful to see how the scriptures all fit together so perfectly. But should that surprise us? Because all of the scriptures were inspired, literally breathed by the infinitely wise Holy Spirit. So I say that there was an ancient type fulfilled as Jesus was bearing that cross. It leads us logically and historically to an action tending to fulfillment. Why would the brutal and wicked Roman soldiers command Simon to carry or to help carry Jesus' cross? If you remember, our Lord Jesus had not eaten for many hours. We are not told that he was even offered a drink for his thirst until he was crucified. He had lost much blood already and was thereby weakened and couldn't hasten. He couldn't move along quickly carrying the heavy cross. Perhaps he had even fallen under the weight of that cross. Perhaps he had fainted, even as some commentators would dare to tell us. Well, so it was not out of compassion, but out of necessity that the Roman military commanded Simon to bear or to help bear Christ's cross, lest he die on the road. Christ's enemies were urgent to see his death. Every moment that he lived only tormented their guilty consciences the more. The tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. They only wanted to see the object of their envy and hatred writhing in agony on that cross. This man, Simon, had come from Cyrene in Africa, probably to go to the temple to worship. Probably a dark-skinned man. He had come out of the country and was coming toward the city. However, they made Simon change his direction and carry Jesus' cross up Golgotha Hill out of Jerusalem. Even though Christ's enemies only wanted to see him suffer more and die, their very evil motives only tended to fulfill perfectly the Holy Scriptures. Jesus must not, Jesus could not die on the road to Calvary. He must die exactly as he had said in John's Gospel, chapter 3, and verses 14 and 15. He said that he must be lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. How was that brazen serpent lifted up? It was up on a pole, held up very high, where all the people could get a look at that serpent and be healed from the snake bites in the wilderness. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. John 12, 32 and 33. He was saying that he was not going to die on the road. He was not going to die by stoning. He was going to die being lifted up. Since the Jews could not legally put someone to death under the Roman rule and dominion, our Savior was using even all the spite of the Jews and all of the cruelty of the Romans to work out his sovereign plan perfectly for his crucifixion. Do you see? You cannot fight God and win. Wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't it be smarter to just submit your life, your love, your will, your ambitions to him right now? Otherwise, you will one day have to confess with your mouth that he is Lord. But then you will have to go away into everlasting punishment. Have you experienced that change of direction? It's interesting that Simon, his whole direction was changed. He was going this way, but he had to turn around and carry the cross the other way. And that's exactly what happens when we truly meet Christ. It changes our life. It changes our direction. Yes, so your life, your direction must be changed to bear Christ's cross. The cross that Christ was bearing and carrying on his bleeding back and shoulders was the cross that Simon also bore, the cross of Jesus, that we must bear. There is a good probability that Simon indeed became one who bore Christ's spiritual cross. Why do we say that? Because in our text, verse 21, It says the father of Alexander and Rufus that Mark points out. Well, if you remember, Mark had traveled around with the Apostle Paul. And in Rufus and his mother were highly commended by Paul in Romans chapter 16 and verse 13. We don't know for certain, but it could very well be that Simon became a permanent cross bearer of Christ, spiritually bearing his cross. So what does it mean to bear Christ's cross? Have you ever thought about that? I've thought about it often. What does it mean to bear, take up your cross and follow Christ? We're going to give you several meanings here. What does it mean in the scripture? It means to bear the shame of being a real Christian. It is a willingness to bear a consistent and an appropriate testimony of Christ to those around you. We must bear the shame of Christ's name rather than being ashamed of Christ's name. Now let's say that again. We must bear the shame of Christ's name rather than being ashamed of Christ's name. Matthew 10, verse 33, Jesus said, "Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." We must take our stand and not be ashamed of his name, but willing to bear the shame of it. Bearing Christ's cross is also witness against sin. It is standing up and calling sin, sin, when it is necessary to do so. Bearing Christ's cross means that we would speak even as he spoke. Bearing Christ's cross is also submitting to the providence of God when he calls on us to suffer, however that suffering is. It may be physically. It may be suffering because of mistreatment by others. Maybe not even physically, but just mistreatment. But a willingness to submit to the providence of God when God calls on us to suffer. Some of the greatest saints are those that live in constant daily pain and submit cheerfully and lovingly to God's will, even when it is painful. So many of God's children suffer pain constantly. You know, when I suffer a little bit, I realize in suffering a little pain that I'm a wimp. I just can't handle it. But some of the greatest saints are those that live in constant pain. But praise God, the day is coming when there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Revelation 21 and verse 4. What does it mean to bear Christ's cross after him? Well, you never become a bearer of Christ's cross until you first lay your burdens down at the feet of him who bore the cross and the curse for your salvation. Have you indeed laid down your burdened soul to Christ and believed on him who bore the curse and the cross for you? Trust in him this very moment. Dear believer, surely you can say, "The love of Christ constraineth me." Since Christ has borne so much pain for me, so much suffering, I must also go forth to him outside the camp of vain religion, bearing his reproach, bearing the cross. Was a tremendous blessing to Simon. You think about that, because it put him very near to Jesus. He could see this mysterious stranger, this one who exuded the very spirit of the triune God. He could notice him, that every look on his countenance, every movement, everything about Jesus was so unusual. It put him very near to Christ. But if you realize, it also caused Simon to walk in the very steps of Christ. Because Luke's gospel tells us in chapter 23 and verse 26, it says that Simon bore the cross after Jesus. He was behind him, following right in the prints where Jesus was walking. How special that was. I remember as a child wanting to step where my father had stepped. And, you know, his stride was much longer than mine, but I would almost jump to get in his steps. And shouldn't we want to walk in the steps of Jesus? Simon was bearing the shame of being among the condemned criminals. At least that's what the people assumed that Christ was. He was no criminal. But God pronounces a blessing on cross bearers, that those that endure trials, those that endure mockings. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. How wonderful. Let us pray together. Oh God, we thank thee so much for Jesus Christ. Oh God, how marvelous, how wonderful that our Savior should suffer to the uttermost as a slave. Oh God, we thank thee for our Savior. We pray that the truths that we have been considering today would be etched in our souls, that we would not forget, but that we would realize that all of these terrible things acted out on Christ was according to thy determinate counsel and foreknowledge for him to do for us, to save us everlastingly. We thank thee, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.